And we're holding by the second Mishnah, $9 on the base. And continuing with the topic of how a mincha is actually made and offered. Mishnah says, Kol menachas hanasis bekli, all menachas that are made in a keli, which we'll see in the Gemara what that comes to exclude, tunas shloisha matnas shemen, they need to have three applications of oil. Now, altogether, you have a regular mincha consists of one or more esroinim of flour. We'll see later on that it's possible to bring a larger mincha, but the minimum is one esroin, and one log of oil. You also have a machloikas, which we're going to have later on, eventually, whether if you have a larger mincha, do you have more oil, but whatever. Let's stick with the basics. One esroin, a log is about a pint, give or take. It's four reviyas. So, points of from Chaim Noah So an isarin of flour and a log of oil, let's say.
A pint of oil.
So, that oil was divided into three parts, and they do it at three different times. Yitzika, which actually the Mishnah is listing them in reverse order of how they're actually done. Yitzika, the last thing is you pour oil on top of the mincha.
Yes.
Previously, or blila, you mix oil in with the flour and water.
That's the second one.
Blila means mixing. And matan shemen bakli, koidim
mafiyot. So you put the oil first, and then you mix it up.
Then in the third one, which actually is the first one chronologically, is you put oil in the keli before you put in the flour. Mm-hmm. You put in oil in the keli, then you put in the flour. We mentioned, we learned also earlier that the mincha is kneaded with warm water, so that's done at some point during this also. Afterwards, you pour more oil on it, and not pour more oil. Afterwards, you pour in more oil and mix it together, and then finally you pour the rest of the oil on top of it after it's mixed. Rashi puts it in terms of like Mishnah saying, like you do Yitzika having already done Blila and having already done Matan Shemen. Okay, yeah, so Yomtiv says the reason is because the Shemen, the Kli, goes in the Keli before the Mincha is ever in there. Therefore, it makes sense to list it last because like it's not really part of the Mincha, so to speak. The Teferet Yisrael says because the order of the Sukkim that we learn it from is in that order. Okay, whatever, anyway. Chalas boila. Now, we learned before that you have two types of baked mincha, one where it's baked as chalas and one where it's baked as the kissing. Up until now, by the way, I've always explained it that chalas means they're thick and rikikin means that they're thin. And in fact, Ibn Ezra explains it that way and some others explain it that way. It's not necessarily that that's a given. We'll get into it in the Gemara. There's another way of looking at it that the difference may be solely in how the oil is applied to it. Okay, so anyway, so chalos boilon, divrei Rebbe. So Rebbe says when it comes to the chalos, you mix the oil in with them after they're baked. In other words, you break them up into pieces, as we're going to discuss on Ein Hayom and Beis. You break them up into pieces, and then you take those broken up pieces and mix them with oil. Here, when you say chalos, by the way, I have to clarify, Rashi, the Rashi on top of it here, Miyochas the Rashi, says that we mean the chalos from meaning chalos masas below the kashemin, meaning when you have a baked mincha that's baked as chalos. On the other hand, Rashi Tzavyad says, no, we're not talking about those. We're talking about a minchas masas and minchas marcheshe. We're talking about the ones that are fried in a deep pan or a shallow pan.
Oh, the deep pan.
The deep or the shallow pan. So if one's a Rashi Tzavyad, which is the original Rashi, it means that Davka by those, Rebbe is saying you break them up and then you mix them with oil. In other words, oil is used in them while they're being made, while they're being kneaded. But Rebbe also holds, in addition, you also have that the blila is done with them after they're broken up into pieces. The Chachamim say that no, the flour of the chalos, again, before they're baked or before they're fried, according to the different explanations, chonis blila, that's when you mix them with the oil.
Yes.
According to Miyuchas Sadashi, we're talking about the baked ones, and for the ones that are baked as chalos as opposed to the chicken. And according to Rashi Ksaviyad, we're talking about the ones that are fried, the matlas and the matlas. Rikikin is, one possibility is rikikin means thin wafers, whereas chalas means thick loaves.
Chalas is
The word chalos can be a general term meaning the parts of the mincha that to which fire is applied, either by baking or by frying, as the case may be. So the word chalos of the ear can mean the baked ones that are baked as chalos, or according to Rashi Tzaviad, it means, like this. We learned before that every mincha comes as ten subcomponents. So in other words, when it comes to a fried mincha, also it's fried as effectively like 10 pancakes. So therefore, those can also be called chalos. So
one is a smaller one, not so high, and the other one is a deeper one.
Okay. So the Chachamim say that when it comes to the chalos, whichever kind of chalos we're talking about, you need the blila is done while they're still a flower, not like you, Rebbe, are saying after they're broken up.
Yeah.
Or rekikin meshicha. And then when it comes to rekikin, here we're definitely rekikin obviously means baked ones that are baked as rekikin, which again might mean that they're thin. Meshicha, those instead of mixing in the flour during the process of making them, instead you smear oil on them afterwards. Case of moshon, how do you smear the oil on them? Kmin ki, in the shape of a ki, which is a Greek letter, where Rashi Saviad over here says it's similar to a tes. Choice that later on brings from Rashi on the pasuk that's similar to a nun or a gimel. There's a variety of different explanations among the Mephoshim. We talked about before another possibility that it might mean like an X, like a Greek letter. The letter P might mean the Greek letter Psi, or however it's pronounced in English. Yeah. Pi, whatever, yeah. Which looks like a letter X. Okay. Yeah, Chi, C-H-I. Okay, whatever, anyway. And the rest of the oil, what's left over after the smearing, is given to the kohenim to eat, and they eat it just like they eat the rest of the mincha. In other words, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara, when it comes to chalos, and when it comes to the fried mincha, all the oil is used in the making of it. There's none left over. As opposed to the kikin, at least the way the Mishnah is saying it over here, there may be oil left over afterwards. We'll see later on in the Gemara.
So they eat the oil of them.
So they can eat it. Well, in other words, they're not going to eat it by itself. You don't eat oil by itself. But the point is they can eat it together with something else. They can dip bread in it, for example. They could, they have to eat it in the Azara. So I guess they can't really drink cholim la Azara to eat it with, but okay, they can pour it over meat as a sauce, for example, whatever they can get. Okay. All right. When we say in Mishnah that all menachos that are made in a keli need three applications of oil, what does that mean? As opposed to what? It means as opposed to the ones that are baked. The ones that are baked, Tosfos to point out, the Tana of our Mishnah evidently holds. Now, we've discussed before, and we're going to discuss in more detail later on, eventually in the 11th parak. We're going to talk about the question, the oven in which these menachos are baked. These menachos, also the lachem aponim, also the shtei lachem, is that tanner a kli shor? Is that oven a kli shor?
Did they have an oven?
They had an oven, but the question is, obviously they had to have an oven to bake these things, but the question is that oven a kli shor? Is it makadish what you put into it? If you say that it's a kli shor, well, then these menachos are also made in a kli shor. If you take the view that it's not a klisharis, then there you go. Then it means that then that's what it means. So our Mishnah is taking the view, says your papa, that minchas mase, that menachos that are baked, they're being baked in an oven. And we're going to say later on in the sugya, we're going to say that those you don't have yitzika, those you don't have that you pour oil on them after they're baked. So when our Mishnah had said that you have three applications of oil for the ones that are made in a keli, we mean that refers only to the ones that are fried and also the one that's brought as raw, the one that's brought as soda.
The ones that come after you put in oil.
Never mind Minchas Kosher, that doesn't have oil at all. You have among regular menachos, the kind that have all three things, where flour and oil and levaina.
Yeah.
You have five types that are brought by a yachid. You have soilus, where it's raw as,
one of the five types.
The first of the five types is soilus, which is unbaked. But before, so previously we talked about, Rashi talked about an idea that what it is you take klimas from it and afterwards you bake it, and then you offer the klimas, according to the Rambam, it seems it remains unbaked until given out to the klimas, and the klimas can eat it raw, or they can bake it, or they can do whatever they want with it. Then you have the two types that are fried, machlas and macheshes, shallow and deep pan, and the two that are baked, chalos and rikikin, that are baked in an oven. So Rav Papa is saying, when our Mishnah says, kolam anachas, anachas the kli, we mean the first three types, as well as also which are the soulless and the two fried ones, and also presumably the Minchas Ha'omer as well. The Minchas Ha'omer also has all those components, and actually come to think of it, there are others as well. The Minchas Chavitin as well. You have a number of types of minchas. And then among private people, minchas, the other three types that are not based on another. Fine. So now we learn in a bright. So let's discuss how we know all these concepts that we said in the Mishnah about the three applications of oil and then machlokes of Rebbe and the Chachamim. So first of all, like the pasuk says, "V'im minchas marcheshes korbanecha." If your korban is a minchas marcheshes, it's based in a deep pan. The pasuk says, "Solos kashemen te'aseh." It should be made as flour in oil. So in oil implies that there's oil there already. Malamed shetov nemat and shemen v'pli. That's where we learn that you have to put oil into the keli first before you put in the flour. That's where we get the matan shemen v'pli that we mentioned the last thing in our Mishnah. And then korbancha l'gzeira shava. Then you have, by the Marcheshet, it says the word Korbancha, and previously by the Machlat, it also says Korbancha. Korbanecha, whatever. So therefore, the Gzeira Shava, so we have a Gzeira Shava, Ma'kan Matan Shem Bakli, just like with the Marcheshet, we just established, you have to put oil in the keli first. Aflahala Matan Shem Bakli, the same thing. By the Minchas Machlat, also, you have to have oil in the keli first before you put in the flour.
From the
Gzeira Shava. And again, as usual, the Gzeira Shava goes the other way around, too. By the Minchas Machvas, the Pasuk mentions that it has to be mixed with oil, and that there has to be oil poured on it. Afkan Yisiko Oblila, so we understand that the same thing applies to the Machashas as well. So we learn back and forth. Lahala means over there, and by the Machvas, it says Yisiko Oblila, because by the Machvas, the expression is, it should be flour mixed with oil, and the next part continues, you should pour oil on it. So therefore, so over there it says Yisiko Oblila, so the Gzeira Shava of the word Korbanecha teaches us that the same thing is true, as far as the Minchas Marcheshes. And then we started with that since the Minchas Marcheshes, it says, Soilus Bashem, and that means there has to be oil in the Kali first, that's how we know that the same thing has to be in my mouth. So we learn from each other.
We go from the Minchas initially to Minchas.
From Marcheshes to Machmas, and from Machmas to Marcheshes. Yeah, that's how Gzeira Shava usually works, that we learn them bidirectionally. Okay, Tosfos gets into a bit of a discussion over here that later on we have a pasuk that says minchahi, and that means it applies to all the menachos. So why do we need the specific Gzeira Shava over here? Okay, so Tosfos gets into a bit of a discussion about the pros and cons of it. Ultimately, what Tosfos says is later on we're going to see that there's a miut as far as your speaker, that not all menachos have oil poured on them. Therefore, we need the separate Gzeira Shava to teach us that most menachos, that's not the case. Chalis boilalon. Then we said in our Mishnah, we said that when it comes to chalis, which again means either baked chalis or fried chalis, depending which version of Rashi you accept. Boilalon, we said that you break them up and then mix them with oil, divirebi, because we're gonna learn in the next Mishnah.
Those are baked ones?
So again, according to Rashi, according to Miyuchas for Rashi means a baked one, and according to Rashi, Saviyad means a fried one. But anyway, the point is, we're going to learn in the next Mishnah that most menachos are broken up into pieces before the kmitza is done. So therefore, so Rebbe holds that the order over here is that these chalos, whichever kind of chalos we're talking about, is you break them up and then you mix the broken pieces with oil. And according to the Chachamim, no, the mixing with oil is done while it's still flour. Chalos boilam divrei Rebbe v'cham lo'im solos. So let's analyze that. Why do they have their different opinions? Hello? Turn it up on them. The pasuk says soilus blula regarding the mincha al matva, the mincha that's fried in a shallow frying pan. The pasuk uses the expression soilus blula, flour mixed with oil, meaning therefore milamachinivlala soilus. So that means that this flour for a minchas matvas has to be mixed with oil while it's still flour before it's fried. Rebbe Omer, because then we're going to talk about Rebbe Omer Chalos Boilon. Rebbe says that no, what it means is you bake them after that, you mix them with oil after they've already been baked into chalos, yeah, and then you crumb and then you break them up. shenema chalos blulis, because you also have because you also have the next pasuk, rather the previous pasuk that talks about the baked ones, uses the expression chalos matzis blulis b'shem. So therefore, the Rebbe says that
the ones that were baked,
the
ones that were baked, they had all beforehand, right?
So that's the thing. So
the ones that were baked already.
One second.
Were baked, you had all before.
Well, so that's the thing. You have Matan Shem and Bakli. We said you have Matan Shem and Bakli because we said we're only talking about. So we have a machloikas as far as Blila. Yisika doesn't happen with them, as we're going to say later. So, right. So the machloikas over here is with the chalos. We know there's Matan Shem and Bakli first, fine. But then when it comes to. So now, is it that you're mixing them with oil while they're still flour, then you bake them, and also water, because we learned previously that all menachos are kneaded with water. Is it that you put oil in the keli, then you mix, then you put in flour and water, you knead them, you bake them, then Rebbe says you break them up, and then you add more oil and mix it, or is it according to the Chachamim that Matan Shem the Kli first, you put oil in the keli, then you put in the flour and water and then knead it and so forth. Then, as you're kneading it, you put in more oil, that's the blila. Then you bake it and then you break it up.
Okay. So both you put oil in the keli first.
The oil in the keli first went out my mind. Right. Okay. So Omer Loi, so the Chachamim told him, Bahaloi Lachne Toida Nemen Baharon Chalos. They tell him like this, consider when it comes to the bread that comes with a toza. There also the expression is chalos matzis blulis b'shem. The e-etchel bolon chain chalos elosolos. Now necessarily when it comes to the bread that comes with a toza, it's impossible to be breaking up the chalos and then mixing them with oil. Why is that? So we're going to discuss later on the Omud why not. We're going to say because there's very little oil that comes with the chalos that come with the toza. A toda comes with, which we're going to discuss later on in the parish, more details about the toda, but a toda comes with four types of bread, 10 loaves of each, as usual, and baked. Well, we have three different types, actually. You have chalos, you have rikikin, and you have ruvucha, which is that where the flour is scalded in boiling hot water before it's baked. Ruvucha, it's called. And then you have 10 that are chomet. So you have 40 loaves, and in particular, actually, the 30 of them that are masa, so you have 10 of them that are chomet, and you have 30 of them that are masa. The ones that are masa, we're going to learn later on in the parak, we'll learn in more detail that you don't have very much oil, that goes into these 40 chalas. So we'll discuss later on the Amud, but the point is, in other words, so before we'll get to the details of that too. First, let's learn the Braisa. But the Chachamim say today, if you're going to tell me that the word chalos blulis, chalos matzis blulis b'shemen, always means, you're going to argue when it comes to a regular baked mincha, you're going to argue that means you break it up first and then you mix it with oil. The problem is, fine, that might work by a regular mincha, but when it comes to you have the same expression by the bread that comes with the toda, by the lechem that comes with the toda, and there you have very little oil. So it's impossible to say that you're going to mix them with oil after they're baked. You're not going to have enough. So necessarily, so over there, obviously, when it says blula, it must mean blulos, it must mean that they were mixed with oil while they're being kneaded. El or sola, so it must be only when they're flour. So the same thing would be as far as a regular baked mincha, they're arguing.
But does it have to be served?
If it can't be after it's baked, then the only other time is when it's served.
Yes.
So therefore, that's what the Chachamim are arguing. You, Rebbe, seem to be inconsistent. You would have to agree when it comes to the Lachmei Toida that you can't break them up and then mix them with oil because you don't have enough oil to physically mix them with. Therefore, logically, the same thing should apply. So over there, necessarily, if the Pasuk is saying Blulis Hashemen, must mean they're mixed with oil while they're being kneaded. Well, then logically, the same thing should apply to any other mincha. Ketzad Oisa, so continue the Chachamim, what does it mean? How do you do it? It's like this. Noisen Shemen B'Kli Kodim Wafiyas. Then you put oil in the keli before you start making them.
How much?
Okay, the Gemara is not specifying how much. The Chazon Ish wants to say that the first time and the third time it has to be at least a kezayis in order that you're makayim the mitzvah of nesina, the part in the middle where you're mixing it with the flour. Obviously, that's going to be more. Well, there's going to be the rest of it. Yeah, you have a log of oil to work with, so you subtract two kezayim, one for the beginning and one for the end, and you do the rest in the middle. Okay.
When do you ask this challah?
So you're not necessarily taking challah from this. It's a good, the Pashas, you don't take challah from this. I don't think we ever find any place that you take. Why would you have to? I mean, you take challah from a regular dough that you're making, but here it's, here you're making it for the purpose of a carbon. It's not this, not I don't know. As it is, you're giving a kermit of it to the mizbeach, and the rest is being eaten by the carbon. But the whole rest of it effectively is a challah of it. Yeah, I don't think you take challah from it. Okay. Anyway. Okay, so Kesed Osa, so how do you do it? Say the Chachamim, Noisen Shemen B'Kli Kodem Lasiyos, then you start by putting oil in the Kli before you start making it, V'Noisna, then you put in the flour, V'Noisen and water, V'Noisen Shemen Oleha, then you put oil on, then you pour oil on top of that, Obola, and then you mix it all together, V'Losha, and you knead it, V'Ofa, and you bake it, Opotasa, then you break it up into pieces, because as we said, the next Mishnah is going to talk about that has to be broken up, V'Noisen Oleha Shemen, then you pour oil over the top, V'Koimus, and you take a cone.
What do you need the shemen on top of?
Because that's how we said, because we have the sticker. So the Bible says, Rebbe says, no, chalos bolon, when it comes to the chalos, you mix them after they're broken up, shenem chalos bolos b'shemen. Kate said, oh, so how does he do? And he says the order is a little bit different. Notes and shemen b'kli kodem l'asiyasa, hello. Oh, welcome back. Yeah, you start with putting oil on the keli before you start making it, v'noisna, then you put in the flour and water, v'losha, and you knead it. You don't pour in more oil at that point, says Rebbe. V'oifa, you bake it, v'kosito, you break it up, then v'noisna le'al shaman abola, then after it's broken up, after the baked mincha is broken up into pieces, then you put oil on it, or boil on, you mix it all together, v'chose v'noisna le'al shaman, then you pour the rest of the log of oil on half of it, v'kosito, and then you take the kosito. So that's the machlokes. Okay. So now let's consider e extra detamri le rabban and the Rebbe Ma'i. So what this that the Chachamim are saying when it comes to a toida, it's impossible to do it the way you say to mix it to after it's baked and after it's broken up to mix in oil. What do they mean by that? Amrik Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, because like this revius shemti, because after all you have is a revius of oil. Rashi Ksaviyad brings the details, actually, both regular Rashi and Rashi Ksaviyad bring the details from later on in Arma Sefta. When it comes to the 40 lachmei toda, you have like this, you have a half a log of oil, so let's say like 6 or 8 ounces, half of it goes for the chametz doesn't have any, the chametz bread doesn't have any part of it. Among the three types of matzah that come with the toida, half a log, so a quarter of a log, a revius, goes for the chalas and the rekikin together, and the other revius goes for the revocha. So therefore, the bottom line is, you have only a quarter of a log that you're trying to divide up among them, among the chalas and the rekikin. So you start off with a half a log. You break it into half goes for the chalos and rekikin. The other half goes for the revocha. So altogether, between the chalos and the rekikin, you have only your vias of oil. Heyach mischalakas atam chalos. How are you going to divide it up among so many chalos? We have 10 of one type and 10 of another type, and so forth. Where especially after they're baked, they're going to be dry. They're going to absorb a lot of oil. So a revius of oil is not going to be enough. So therefore, obviously, you can't add any more oil. Right. So obviously, the Chachamim say there, necessarily, it must mean that you have no choice. It must mean that you mix in the oil while you're kneading the flour.
Before the baking.
Now, so what would Rebbe answer to that? So Tosfos says, in fact, you're right. The Tosfos brings from a Tosefta, and Tosfos has a slightly different gear there in the Gemara over here, that indeed, Rebbe has no answer to that. So therefore, in fact, the Tosefta brings that Rebbe conceded to the Chachamim. You're right, he says, what they're saying seems more logical than what I'm saying. Because it's true, when it comes to lachmei toda, you can't possibly do it that way, therefore it's logical to say that the same thing applies to a regular mincha. However, Rashi brings over here another girsa. Rashi brings over here a slightly different girsa than we have in our Gemara, taking out the word ma'i, saying that Rebbe would still hold by his opinion, he would say, okay, by the Torah it's true, you have no choice, because you have so little oil, and therefore, and falafel and mishmish dinah, that you have that much oil, therefore, of necessity, it has to be that you're mixing it in while it's still flour, so it's impossible to do it afterwards, but by regular mincha, we don't have that taste, and therefore, we can assume that it means that you put it in after it's broken out.
And what happens if you give it a little more?
Some would say it has to be.
What? If you put a little bit more oil,
if you put extra oil, it'll topple it. We learned that earlier in the Masechta, that if you have too much oil, it'll topple it. Okay. Fine. Then we said in the Mishnah, chalos tonis blila. We said that when it comes to a base mincha, the chalos require blila. They require to be mixed with oil. Again, according to the Chachamim, while they're being kneaded, according to Rebbe, after they're baked and then broken up. Or rekikin mishicha. When it comes to rekikin, they're smeared with oil on the top. So, tanarabanan. Chalos blulos, below the kikin blulin. When the Pasuk says, which we quoted already, that the Pasuk describes the chalos as blulos b'shemen, that they're mixed with oil, that means below the kikin blulin, it means only the chalos are mixed with oil before or after, as the case may be, but not the kikin. Now, why do you need the Pasuk? Why do you need the Pasuk? Because the chalos blulos. They're fine, but kikin are not like that. Why do you need the Pasuk? That because if you didn't have that, you would think to make a kavachomer as follows. Uma chalos she'en and tounis meshicha, madach the chalos which don't require smearing of oil on them after they're baked, tounis blila, but they still need blila, they still need the actual flour or the crumbs, as the case may be, need to be mixed with oil. Rekikin she'tounin meshicha, well then by the rekikin, where the pasuk specifically tells us, the pasuk specifically describes in various places that the rekikin on meshuchin bashaman a smear of oil, you would think, ein adin she'tounin meshicha, how much more so they should be like the chalos as well and also require, she'tounin blila, that she'tounin blila, that should require blila. Therefore, talmud lema chalos, because you would think to make a kavo chaimer from the chalos.
How do they make the rekikin if they don't?
According to the Evan Ezra, the difference is chalos are thick and rekikin are thin. According to another way of looking at it, which the Minchas Chinuch talks about, for example, it may be they're both the same thickness. The difference is the chalos, as we're saying, have, according to the Chachamim anyway, you mix in oil while they're being made. You have oil poured into the keli, and then you put in the flour and water, and then afterward you can put in more oil and mix it all together. Whereas rekikin, you don't do that. Rekikin, you're not pouring in oil during the kneading of it. You only have the initial oil that you poured into the keli first.
They're with water.
The old menachos are made with water. We learned that previously. But in the case of chalos, in the case of chalos, you have two applications of oil ultimately: matan shemen b'kli and blila yisita. You don't have, as we're going to discuss. We said not for minchas matzah. We said at the very beginning of the Gemara that yitzika, that pouring oil on top of it afterwards, you don't have with the ones that are baked. That you only have with the ones you have. No, because we're kicking off the base. You have that with a minchas solus, with one that's not baked, and you have that with the fried one that you pour. Matzah and matzah. Okay. So in other words, again, if we didn't have a pasuk specifying that only the chalos are blulos, we would think to make a kavachomer that the rekikin should also be blulos. That the rekikin, in other words, should have both blulos, that they're mixed with oil during the kneading, and meshuchos, that they're smeared with oil after the date. Now that we have the word chalos blulos, then we understand, no, the rekikin do not have blulos. And let's go the other way around. Rekikin meshuchin. When the pasuk continues, that the pasuk describes the rekikin as being smeared with oil. Rekikin matzis meshuchin bashomen, implying below chalos meshuchas, implying the chalos are not smeared with oil. And again, we need that specified. Sheyachol v'alo dinu, because again, you would think to make a kavah chaymer. Umar rekikin she'enin tunin blila tunin meshicha. Madach the rekikin, which don't require blila, but they do require meshicha. They do have to be smeared with oil afterwards. Chalos shetounis blila, then the chalos where we said that the pasuk described that they're mixed with oil, blulas bashamen, ain adin shetounis meshicha, you would think to make a kavachomer that they should require also what the rekikin require, and require meshicha as well. No, tamad leimer, rekikin meshuchim, meaning v'lo chalos meshuchim. That's it. So in other words, the braita is saying, the chalos have only blila, the rekikin have only meshicha.
I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
If you say blula, that has a lot of oil when you put it in first, right?
Yeah.
What's the kavachomer? because Balula, it has a lot of oil, so you don't need to smear it later.
No.
The other ones don't have, you don't put no oil in
No, because, hold on. Ultimately, you have the same amount of oil as being used regardless. You always have a load of oil that's going to be used no matter what. The difference is, are you going to be doing it, are you going to be using it for the blubber and use whatever's left of it for the mashikah, or are you going to use none of it for the blubber and as much as possible of it for the mashikah, which we're going to have later. Mashikah is smearing oil on the top of it, which we're going to have soon, two opinions. What do you do? How do you use an entire load of oil for mashikah? So we'll get to that. Remember, we said in the Mishnah, we just said the rest of it is eaten by the kohen. You know, you just do the mashikah once, and whatever's left is eaten by the kohen. We'll see soon that there's another opinion on that. But anyway.
You put a slide cover of oil.
Okay. But, yeah, but the question is, do you do that again and again? Anyway, the point is that, yes, we would think to make a kavah chomer, since the pasuk is saying that the chalas need blula, maybe the rechikin should need it as well, given that they also need mashicha. In other words, that you wouldn't save all the oil for the mashicha. You would use some of it for the blula. No, that's why it says only the chalas have blula. And vice versa, you would think maybe when it comes to the chalas, you don't use all the oil for the blula, save some of it for afterwards for mashicha. No, Talmud Lomer, only rechikin on mashicha. So my Talmud, how exactly did he took him imply that you only do blila for the one and only mashicha for the other? Maybe it means, just like we learned before, that you have one type of mincha where it says that you need matan shem and bakli and not another one, and you have the other one where it says that you need yisika or blila and not the other one, but we learn them back and forth from each other with Gzeira Shava. Why don't we say the same thing over here, that we can learn one from the other with a hekdesh or something? Amar Rava, Rava says, fine, but lo lishtim, it's a list of chalas mashicha, they were kicking blumen. Fine, but Rava says, the fact is, you don't have a single place in the Torah, and you have many places where the Torah mentions chalas and rechikin. You have by a regular mincha, you have by the miluim, you never have any place where it refers to them the other way around as the chalas are smeared and or the rechikin are mixed. Therefore, the fact that every single time the Torah uses the expression blulas regarding the chalas and the expression the shulchas regarding the rekikin teaches us that that's how it is. And there's no interchange. The chalas are blulas, the rekikin are mishuchas. Now, what would happen, by the way, if you did do it the other way? Once that's according to the Evanesco. But now let's talk about actually. So what would happen if you were to do differently? What would happen if you would do blila to rekikin or mashicha to chalas? So actually, the Mizrahi who wrote a pirush on Pirush Rashi on the Torah, in English they call such a thing a super commentary, but it's a commentary on a commentary. Anyway, he learns that in fact if you were to do that, it would be possible. So Achronim asked on him, the Mishnah of Melech, so the Lach Mishnah, I think, talks about it. Why would it be possible? We learned earlier in the Masechta, in fact, that if you didn't do your sticker or blue, the carbon is kosher, that he had it. As long as somehow you have the log of oil over there, then it doesn't really matter.
If you didn't do your sticker and what else?
We said this, well, your stuff, like, ball off, we had it earlier back in the second period. I don't remember if we mentioned like Moshach, but whatever, the point is, fine, so at least as far as the chalas, if you didn't do it with you, if you did mashicha rather than blula, the Lacha Mishnah argues, why should it be possible? So the Minchas Chinuch talks about, he says, maybe the idea is, not like the Evan Ezra, that chalas and the tikkun, the difference is one stick and one thin. Maybe indeed, the only difference is that chalas are have oil mixed into the dough, blila, whereas the tikkun are smeared after they're baked. In that case, if you were to switch them around, it means you'd switch the type of carbon. Then it would be possible on that reason alone, because you made a nether to bring chalas, and instead you're bringing rechikin, or vice versa. So he discusses that a little bit. He's unsure about that idea, the Minchas Chinuch, but that's
what does Rambam say?
The Rambam doesn't specifically say about it one way or the other. I think the Rambam just mentions these dinim, that the chalas are blulis and the rechikin are mashuach. I don't think the Rambam specifically says one way or the other that it's possible. The Torah only deals with halachas that are noyig nowadays. So we don't have a bit of mikdash. The Torah doesn't write about such halachas. Okay, so anyway, though, that's the bottom line. Chalos are supposed to be blulas, rechikin are supposed to be mishuk. Okay.
So we don't know if it's...
According to the Mizrahi, if you did it the other way around, it would be possible. And Achronim discussed the pros and cons of why that should be so. Okay. Fine. Then we said in the Mishnah, Kesed Moshcha, and how do you smear the rechikin? Kimin ki, you should do it in the shape of a ki. Vasham nechol kola, and the rest of it is eaten by, and the rest of the oil is eaten by the kohen. The mai kmin ki, what does the shape of a key mean? Amar kana kmin ki yivani, it means like the shape of a Greek key. So again, what does that mean? Rashi Ksaviyada Mishnah had described that that's similar to a test, except that it's similar to a test, except not bent in, but just kind of like this. In which case, it would be kind of like a Greek letter U or epsilon or whatever. Okay, so 1 second. You have a variety of explanations. There's another explanation. You have a variety. Tosfos brings.
Is this what we call
One second. Hold on. So Tosfos summarizes over here a few different possibilities. The Tosfos brings that the Rashi says it's similar to a test. In Chumash, Rashi says in Pirush on Chumash, Rashi says that it's like a gimel, yesh meforshim like a nun or like a chos. And then you have a couple of other explanations I've seen. Another one is that it looks more like a Y, and yet another one is that it looks like an X, like a Greek letter chi, C-H-I, which would match the word key Yvonis over here, but yeah. You have a variety of different explanations.
Yvonis,
on the face of it means it means an X shape, but again, you have many explanations among the Rishonim what the possibilities are. The Rebbe brings, by the way, there's a sikha in Chelek Chavav where the Rebbe talks about the Abba Benel says the reason why the same shape is also used to anoint the Kohen, we know this in Holy, the key Yvonis. So the Abba Benel says the idea is because when they anoint the Kohen, you know, So the Abravanel brings in, they did whatever shape it is, a chalf or a nun or whatever, with the oil on their forehead, yeah. So the Abravanel says the idea that chalf stands for the koyin, and therefore it symbolizes their status as koyin. Mm-hmm. So the Rebbe analyzes this a bit in a sikha and in Chelek Chavov with the Sava. One thing is the Rebbe talks about at the end of it there, the why of all things is Greek key, so then do it as a Hebrew letter chalf.
Yeah.
And the answer is that Rebbe says the deeper idea of it is because what do we know? We're coming up in a month's time of Hanukkah. What are we celebrating during Hanukkah? That the Yevonim tried to take the oil of the oil of Kedusha and turn it into their Talmudic end. And here we do the other way around. We show that the oil of Kedusha, the Shem HaMishpah, the oil that's applied to these Rikikin, is the other way around. We take the Greek letter cup and use it as a symbol of, and they take the Greek letter chi or whatever it is, some Greek letter, and use it as a symbol of Kedusha, and use it as a symbol of Kohuna. That's true. We have foreign words that are in the Torah. You still need an explanation why Dr. the Torah chose to use a foreign word rather than, yeah, so over here.
Foreign word, yes. But if the Yvonis, the Menachos existed far beyond before the Yvonis.
Okay, but nevertheless, when the Torah was originally given, it wouldn't necessarily have been described as Yvonis. When Moshe is originally teaching the Halacha to the Jewish people, he couldn't necessarily have described it as a key Yvonis. He would have had to describe it using some other shape. But by the time it came to the Chachamim, where the Greek alphabet exists, then they could describe it in that term. It's like in modern terms, it's called an X shape, let's say, or we'd call it a U shape or whatever. The letters X or U or whatever didn't exist in those days, but we translate it into modern terms.
You couldn't make a U-turn for thousands of years.
Yeah.
Just keep going.
Let's go. Okay, fine. Turn it up on. We learn it a bright. Mincha ba mechta chalas or mechta rikikin. What happens if a mincha is being brought as half chalas, half rikikin? Now, we've learned previously, a couple of weeks ago, that Reb Shimon holds you can do that. That if you make a neder to bring a baked mincha, Reb Shimon says it can be partially chalas and partially rikikin. So the question is, in that case, what are we doing with the log of oil? Rashi brings over here another possibility that maybe what it means is because again, you always have a log of oil together with every yisur and a flour.
Yeah.
So you have the question, how exactly? That's the question. So how do we? So we have to figure out what we do. So anyway, Rashi brings another possibility that maybe it means where a person is offering 10 chalas plus 10 rikikin. Although the achronim have a hard time with that, and in fact, Agoy Tabak takes that out because the fact of the matter is, in that case, obviously, you bring a separate log for each one, and there's no question what that. Okay. Anyway, so what do you do? So let's say according to the Pshinan, they get 5 chalas and 5 rikikin. Maybe log shemen, you still bring a log of oil, because that's the standard amount that comes with a mincha. And you divide that log in half. Chesula chalas for chesula rikikin. Half of that log goes towards the chalas, half of it goes towards the rikikin. And then what do we do with the two respective halves? The chalas bolon, when it comes to the chalas, as usual with chalas, you take that half a log and mix the oil into the chalas. Again, according to the chachamim, while they're being kneaded, according to Rebbe, after they're baked. or a kikin moshkan, as far as they're a kikin, you smear them with oil. Umesheach has a rokik al pnei koloi. And when it comes to the smearing, you don't smear it in a certain shape, like we were talking about before. You smear the entire surface of the rokik. And then what do you do with the rest of the oil that you have? After that, you give it to the chalas and you use the rest of it for the chalas. So it may come out, practically speaking, let's say that you may have, you'll end up using 3/4 of the log for the chalas and only 1/4 for the rakikin, let's say, if that's all it is. No, they're not. In other words, while they're the chalas and the rakikin are being baked at the same time, because it's all part of one hand. So in other words, what you do, so let's say they baked the rakikin first, then they smear them with the oil, and now whatever you have, and then whatever you have left, you use it for the blue love of the chalas. Rashi Ksavyad says explicitly, smearing the rakikin comes before mixing with the chalas. So that's according to the Tanakhama of the Braita. Rab Shimon ben Yehuda Mishum Rab Shimon Omer. Moshchan Kamin Ki. No, you don't smear the entire surface of the kikin. You just smear them in the shape of a key, of these various explanations that we just said. Ushara Shemin Nechal Kainim, and the rest of the oil is eaten by the Kainim.
Like this? With what?
Again, they're not going to eat oil by itself. In other words, it's one of the matnas kahuna. The same way as they can eat the mincha however they like, they can bake it or fry it or whatever afterwards and eat it however they want. The same thing they can do with the oil or whatever they want, for as long as they eat it in the Azara. Okay. Then you learn in another braise, a similar concept. Rikikin are born the same. What happens if you bring in rikikin by themselves? So you have just a mincha of 10 rikikin. Where, of course, everybody agrees that you can do that. So what do you do with the oil? Again, maybe look shemen. Okay, a person can make an adava, a neder, an adava that he's going to bring a mincha or a kikin. So maybe look shemen. And also, you have when korban is amiluim, you had rikikin, but okay, there you had rikikin with various other types. Here we're talking about rikikin that comes by themselves, which is a mincha sandava. Yeah. Okay. Maybe log shemen, you bring a log of oil, or moshchan b'chozer or moshchan. What you do is, in this case, now in the previous case, you don't have to smear them more than once. You just smear them once, and whatever oil is left, no problem, it's not going to go to waste. It's going to go into the chalas. Here, where you only have rikikin, you don't have that alternative, because the rikikin already baked. So what do? Moshchan b'chozer or moshchan b'chozer or moshchan. You smear them, then you smear them again, right? Ad sheyichla kol shemen shebelog, until you use up the entire log of oil.
Very oily tomatoes.
Yes, okay. Some of the Achronim talk about, one of the Kalim on the Rambam, I don't remember which one, says that maybe what it means is you have to, after you smear them, you have to wait a while to let the oil get absorbed before you smear it again, otherwise
it
gets absorbed a little bit, I guess, because not necessarily are rikikin thin. They're matza, they're not chomet. Not necessarily, according to the Eben Ezra, they are. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, Omer Mishum Rav Shimon. Again, Rav Shimon ben Yehuda says the name of Rav Shimon. Note, same thing as before. Moshchan kamin ki, you only smear them once in the shape of a key. Ushara shemen nechal akonim, and the rest of the oil is eaten by the kohen.
How do they eat it?
Like we just said. We just said a few times.
How do they eat the oil?
Again, we just said a few times. They can make a nigrun out of it. They can mix it with other ingredients. Yeah, they can mix it with other foods. They can make salad dressing out of it. They can put it as dressing on their korbanos or whatever. I mean, okay, they can't put chola mazar. I guess there's a limit how much they can do, but whatever. Okay, the point is they can find something to. Yeah. Okay.
I don't want to hold you on much, so they keep on. You keep on.
No. Tanakama of this bride has said that. But that you put on oil again and again on their kitchen.
Yeah.
According to the Shimon, you don't. According to Rav Shimon, you don't. You only smear them once. The Rambam paskins like the Chachamim, as he usually does, even though that goes against our Stam Mishnah. And in fact, the notes of Kalim on the Rambam deal with why he does that, because usually that law is like a Stam Mishnah. But them's the fact that Rambam paskins like the kind of camera over here, that in the case of Rikikin, you smear them again and again until you use a whole load. Next, the Mishnah says, all menachas that are made in a keli, which we'll see in the Gemara what that comes to exclude, to unes sisa, they all have to be broken up into pieces. And we'll see on Omid Beis how exactly they're broken up. So the Gemara says, l'mu'utimai, again we have to ask, like in the previous Mishnah, what is the Mishnah telling us to exclude that doesn't require sisa? Because it says anachas the kli. It says that a mincha that's made in a keli implies it says. Otherwise, it would say kol manach. So in other words, there's some type of not. Now it can't mean that in this case, now the previous Mishnah, we said at the very beginning of the Gemara, it means that baked menachas don't have yisika. Here we can't do that, says Rashi Ksavyad. Because later on, the Gemara is going to point out on Amud Beis that we know that you're actually at the bottom of our Amud, or the next Amud, that baked menachas don't have yisika. But psista they do have. So now we can't say that psista, that breaking it up into pieces, doesn't apply to Beis Menachos. So what is the Mishnah coming to exclude? Amar Apopolim, or to Shtei Alechem, the Lachem upon him. Okay, if the Mishnah comes to exclude the Shtei Alechem and the Lachem upon him, those don't have to be broken up to pieces. I mean, obviously they have to be broken up eventually when they're given to the Kohanim, but they don't have the specific thing of breaking them up, as we're going to say in the next Mishnah, a certain way of folding them and breaking them, that you don't have to do.
Okay.
Well, hold on, we'll see on the base. All of that will be dealt with. Turn it up on us. So we learn in a bright. So how do we know this concept that most menachos have to be broken up into pieces? Because like this, the pasuk describes when it comes to a minchas machas, the pasuk says pasuk oisa pitim mincha. The whole pasuk says pasuk oisa pitim, break it up into pieces. The asafte ala shaman, you pour oil on it. Mincha hi, it is a mincha. The word posit, oisa pitim, and then it continues mincha, means the rabbis call a menachos of sitta. That comes to teach us that not only a machbah, but all menachos have to be broken up into pieces. Again, if you take the view, according to the Rambam, that a mincha solas is not baked until after the kohenim has been offered, only when it's given to the kohenim do they have the choice to bake it or fry it or whatever before they eat it, then it wouldn't apply to that one, practically speaking, because the solas mixed with water and flour. But if we're talking according to Rashi, that those also are baked before, or are baked after the claim is taken, then yeah, it would apply to them also. Yachol shani ma'abach shteh lechem v'lechem afonim. So you would think maybe that means also the shteh lechem and v'lechem afonim have to be broken up in this way. No, kamad loyma oisa. Therefore, the pasuk says, the pasuk doesn't say pasuk pitim, it says pasuk oisa pitim. It says break it into pitim. So the word it, the word oisa, is a meal. So therefore,
why would you think that it would be?
Because you would think that those shteh lechem and the lechem afonim are types of mincha also.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, since it says oisa, then that means it's excluding those two. Otherwise, it wouldn't have said oisa at all. It would have said pasuk pitim. Okay. Then in the middle of the pasuk is the asakta shemen mincha. The pasuk mentions in the middle about pouring oil on top and says mincha hi, that it is a mincha. Again, the rabbis call a menachos liyitzika. That comes to include that all menachos have to have oil poured on it. That was in the previous Mishnah. We said that menachos have a maximum of three applications of oil, and the third one is you pour it on it after it's finished. So this pasuk, the asakta shaman mincha, teaches us that all, or most, as we said before, menachos require yitzika. Yachol shani ma'abach minchas machzeh. So then you would think maybe that includes also baked menachos, and the previous Mishnah told us that baked menachos do not get yitzika. Chamad lema aleha shaman. Again, you have a mute, because the pasuk says you pour on it oil, meaning on it only a certain type of mincha. Right. Okay. So fine, you would argue maybe that means then therefore we're only excluding one type of mincha. We're only excluding chalos, the ones that are baked as chalos. Again, meaning either thicker ones or ones that are blended with oil that we talked about before. Maybe we shouldn't exclude rakikin. Maybe rakikin do require the thicker, that oil is poured on them afterwards, not just smeared on, as we said before. Tama by my ki. Therefore, we have another mincha in the pasuk that says mincha ki. Okay, so the question is, my Talmudah, how exactly are you learning that it means then that you're excluding those two types of baked mincha?
Could have thought it excludes the chalos, but not.
But not the rakikin. Now you have two miyotim, so therefore it means two menachos. So the question is, eim alahoti minchas koyanim. Why? Maybe we should argue that it comes to exclude a mincha koyanim, given that a mincha koyanim, the whole thing is burnt on the mizbeach, and given also that she says that after all, it's not mentioned together with other menachos. The most menachos are mentioned in Parshas Vayikra. The concept of a minchas koyanim, which is burnt completely on the mizbeach, is in Parshas Tzav. Maybe it's memayis that. That was that. You don't have to break it up. That was that, rather, you don't have your sikha.
Yeah, that would pour,
after the mincha, isn't it? Yeah, that would pour oil on top of it. Yeah. So maybe it means that a minchas koyanim doesn't get your sikha. Rashi, by the way, Tosfos quotes Rashi over here, which we have on Amud Beis in Rashi Saviad, that in that case, why don't we ask the same question about Sisa? Why don't we ask that maybe the Miyot by Sisa means to be Mamayat and Minchas Koyim? How do we know it means the Shtei Alachim and the Lachim Afonim? So Rashi says the reason is because when it comes to Sisa, given that you have it in Minchas Yochid, after all, as opposed to the Shtei Alachim and the Lachim Afonim, are Minchas Sibur. So it's more logical that if the pasuk is excluding something from Sisa, minchas koyanim is a minchas yachid.
Right.
So if the pasuk is excluding something from Sisa, it's probably going to be a minchas sibur. But the question is, and the Gemara over here, how do we know as far as Yitzhika, that it doesn't apply to a min, that it applies to a Minchas Torinim, but not to a Beis Min, but maybe the other way around.
It doesn't apply to Hebrew and to Yachid?
Yeah, that's what we're asking. We're saying like this. The word, we're saying that the two Mi'urtim on Yitzhika are teaching us that the two types of Beis Mincha don't get Yitzhika. So the question is, why? Maybe it means that the Minchas Torinim doesn't get Yitzhika. The answer is, Omer Ramba, fine, the fact is you have two Mi'urtim. What kind of thing requires two miyotim, the word aleha and the word hebe, it can only be a Beit Mincha, where you have two types, kalos and retikim. A minchas koyanim, of course, a koyan can bring any of the five types of mincha, but as far as the din that they're all, that they're burnt completely on the mizeach, there's really no difference between one and another type of minchas koyanim. All of them are burnt completely on the mizeach. So there's no reason to say that we should need two, as opposed to the kalos and retikim, the fact is they're made as two different types. And then they're both minchas matikana. They're both two types. Yeah. And then Rashi also points out, you don't have to say that, we can't say that the mi'urtim by yistika are referring to the shteh lechem and the lechem upon him, because as it is, they're not made with oil. There's no yistika to talk about anyway. There's none of the three applications of oil applied to them. Okay. So that's where we stand there. The Gemara didn't mention that, but we mentioned it earlier, and we mentioned it earlier in the Masechta, that the shteh lechem and the lechem upon him. Because the Gemara didn't bother mentioning it over here, but Rashi still has that detail. Okay, we're left with then so far that, we're left with so far as follows. Some menachas require three applications of oil, matan shem b'kli and dlila and yitzika. Baked ones don't, the two types of fried menachas require all three. The baked ones don't require yisika, and the retikin don't require belila either. Instead, they have meshicha. And then, as far as tfisa, all regular standard menachas require tfisa except for the shei lechem and the lechem
upon him. The ones that don't require yisika, they still have used oil in the
kitchen. Yeah, they still use oil. Yeah, they still have, yeah, exactly. So now. Mishnah says, Minchat Yisrael, when a Yisrael brings a Mincha, Yisrael meaning also a lady, and he said that then the normal thing is done, you have a Kohen that's taken, and the rest is eaten by the Kohen. So what do you do? When they're baked or they're fried, how do you break them up? Kofel Echa B'Shnayim, you take the Mincha, remember, is baked as 10 loaves. So you take each loaf, and break it into two, ushnayim la'abah, and then koifo means you fold them. So it's interesting. One second. So Rashi on the top of it here, Miyokos Rashi, just says koifo means to make koifo, like folding it, implying that it's not actually broken. They're thin enough that you're able to fold them, but Rashi Ksaviyad actually says the expression koifo means meshaber, actually means breaking it. The difference is, one second, Kofel echad l'shnayim l'shnayim l'abah, you fold it in half, and then you fold that again in half. Umavdil, and you break apart the pieces. So according to Rashi on the top of it here, it would be first you fold them without breaking them, and then you actually break the four pieces apart. According to the
sheet?
Yeah. It's like a flat sheet, it's like a flattish sheet, kind of. According to the Rashi Ksavyad, yeah, according to Rashi Ksavyad, what it would mean is in the course of folding it, you're actually breaking it into pieces, and then you physically separate the pieces. Yeah. The reason is because you have to do knisa from them, which actually Chedushim Am Yechasim Mar Rashba points out that wouldn't be enough. If you break them each into four pieces, that's still not going to be small enough for knisa. If he says what it means is you take then one of those individual pieces and break it up into small enough pieces that then you can do knisa out of it.
That
you have to do. And then the rest of them are...
Okay.
Yeah.
There's no sign for tisa?
Well, wait. We'll see at the end of the mission. Minchas koyanim, when it comes to a mincha brought by koyanim, where, according to the chachamim that we said at the beginning of the parak, such a mincha doesn't require smitha, koyfel echa b'shnayim l'shnayim l'abah, you also fold it into four. The ainei ma'abdil, but you don't break apart the pieces. Meaning either according to Miyochas the Rashi on the top, it would mean that you only fold it, but the pieces are all still attached together. And according to Rashi Ksavyad, it would mean it is broken, but you're not actually physically separating the pieces. Okay. Minchas Kohen Mashiach Lohei Makasla. Now when it comes to the Mincha brought by the Kohen Gadol, meaning the Mincha Chazitin, you don't fold it at all. Reb Shimon, we'll see in the Gemara actually that you do fold it, but not as much as the other one. Reb Shimon, I mean, Reb Shimon says no. Minchas Kohen and Minchas Kohen Mashiach ain't behind Tzitza. Neither, from a Mincha brought by a regular Kohen, you also don't do Tzitza on it. Mifnesha ain't behind Tzitza, because, as he said at the beginning of the Perek, you don't do, because you don't do Tzitza on them, because you don't do Tzitza, everybody agrees you don't do Tzitza on them, but fine. He says, given that there's no Tzitza in them, V'cholsha ain't behind Tzitza, ain't behind Tzitza. He learns that wherever there's no Tzitza, then there's no need for Tzitza. He learns that Tzitza is a possible thing to be able to make it, that you have pieces that ultimately you can break it up into pieces small enough for Tzitza. No Tzitza, then no Tzitza is necessary.
So there's two of them, Minchas Kohen and Minchas Kohen Mashiach.
Whereas the Tanakhama, it's not only the Minchas Kohen Mashiach. Yeah. V'cholon toistan kizaitin. All of them you break up into pieces that are the size of the kizaitin. The Rashi brings a couple of explanations. First of all, is this statement only according to Reb Shimon? Is it only according to Reb Shimon that Reb Shimon says the pieces have to be the size of a kizayis, and the Tanakhama would disagree with him on two things. Number one, which ones are broken, and number two, how far you break them down, where according to the Tanakhama, you only break it down into four pieces, and according to Reb Shimon, you continue breaking it down until you reach pieces of the size of the kizayis. Or, does it mean that everybody agrees with that last one, that it means you start by folding them in four, according to that way of looking at it, would mean Tanakhama and Reb Shimon would say you folded the four, and then the eight, 16, however many times you need, in order to get pieces the size of a kizai. There's different explanations among the Farshim.
When you fold it, yeah, doesn't it crack?
You know, that depends. If it's soft enough, it won't crack. Just like let's make a calculation, actually. A standard mincha comes as an isarin. An isarin is a size of 43.2 eggs. You're making 10 challahs of it, so each challah consists of a little more than 4 eggs, 4 1/3 eggs, approximately. Okay. Then if you break them into 4 pieces, then each piece is about the size of an egg. It's a size of an egg with their shells. So then if you're breaking each of these 10 challahs into 4 pieces, it comes out each one is a little bit more than the size of a kibbeza. So yeah, again, if we say that this part, v'cholam hoistam kizaitim, is a coincidence of Shimon, then it would mean he would say it's not enough to just break it into 4, because you still have pieces the size of a kibbeza, and you need to get them down to the size of a kizayis. So therefore, you need to be folding them more and more. If we say the Tanakhama that agrees with that. If we say the Tanakhama agrees with that, a kibbeza, you have different opinions. You have different opinions in Shulchan Aruch whether a kizayis. So you have two opinions in Shulchan Aruch whether a kizayis is half a kibbeza or a third of a kibbeza. Whatever it is, yeah. Okay. So one way of looking at it is that the Tanakhama is saying you only break them up into pieces about the size of the kibbeza. And Reb Shimon is saying you have to break them down further to the size of the kizayis. The other way of looking at it is everybody agrees you break them down to the size of the kizayis. Okay. So let's run through the Gemara. Tanan Abanan. When the pasuk starts off saying pasuk, the pasuk says by a mincha, break the yachal l'shnayim. You would think that, or fold, whatever, you would think that just means in half. Tanan Abanan, pitim. Therefore, the pasuk continues two words later in the pasuk, pitim, pieces. Okay, but if you only have the word pitim by itself, you would think you should break it down into tiny fragments, like as far down as you could break it into crumbs. No, Tamad Lima, oisa. Therefore, the pasuk says you break it, meaning oisa l'psitim, but like pisa l'psitim. You break it into pieces. You're not breaking the pieces further down into pieces.
Let me say, Tamad Lima, pitim.
It means that, therefore, the pasuk says pitim to teach us that you do more than just breaking into two. But pitim would mean tiny fragments. Tamad Lima oisa, meaning oisa l'psitim, but like pisa l'psitim. You're breaking it, the mincha as a whole, into psitim, but like pisa l'psitim. You're not taking the pieces, and then breaking them down through.
So what psitim is it?
Okay, sad. So what does this mean? Mincha Yisrael koyfal echad b'shnayim l'shnayim l'abal ma'abdil. What we said in our Mishnah, that a mincha brought by Yisrael, you break it into 4 pieces and divide and separate pieces. Mincha koyin, m'koyin mashiach, lay m'kap l'chola, a mincha koyin, when a mincha koyin mashiach, then you fold them and you don't break them apart or according to the Shimon, you don't do tzitzit to them at all. Okay. So the question is, now, the expression in the Braise is minchas koinem, koin mashiach, hoya makapla, that you fold it. What do you mean, v'amnan tnan lo hoya makapla? We said in our Mishnah, the minchas chavitin, the mincha of the koin mashiach, is not folded. So what is it? Amar Rabbah means enem makapla la'ba. It means the minchas chavitin of the koin gadol is not folded into four, like all other menachas, av makapla l'shnayim, but it is folded into two. It is folded in half.
When a Mishnah says
Enam Kapla, it's not folded into four. It's not folded like all other ones into four, but it's folded into two. Yes. And in fact, by the way, you have an interesting thing, which is the Rambam and the Raivad argue. We know that the Minchas Chavitin of the Kohen Gadol is made in 12 loaves, unlike most Menachos, which are made into 10. We say that he brings half of it in the morning and half of it in the afternoon. Does it mean the Raivad learns that it means six whole challahs in the morning and six whole challahs in the afternoon? The Rambam learns what it means is you take each of the 12 challahs and break it in two, and you offer sit and you offer 12 halves in the morning and 12 halves in the afternoon. So one of the things, and those the Kalim on the Rambam say he may get that from our Gemara over here. Makapul l'shnayim, why you're taking each challah right there in the morning after they're made and breaking them into two, and then later on you're going and then later on you're going and offering 12 of those halves in the morning and 12 later on in the day.
Every day.
Every day, of course.
Even on Yom Tov?
Yeah, it's a mincha. Okay, fine. Let's go on. Rav Shimon Omer minchas koyanim minchas koyanim Mashiach ain't ben tisim cholot. Then we said like this. Rav Shimon had said that a mincha of koyanim and a mincha of the koyan gadol doesn't have tisim done here, because anyway, no kmitzah is being done, so there's no need to break it up. But we're not really focusing on that. We're going to focus on the last words of the Mishnah, v'cholam poisim kizaitim, where we said that the pieces are the size of kizaitim. Fine, we can argue whether that's according to Rav Shimon, we can argue whether that's according to Rav Chanan, but the Gemara is going to bring up a topic that relates to this, and then we're going to bring in our mission. Omer of Yosef, to determine what
it applies,
not to who it applies, no, just to determine to see whether a certain halacha that we're going to say in Hilchos Brachos fits with our Mishnah. If here's a din in Hilchos Brachos. Hai chavitza. If you have a chavitza. Now, what is chavitza? Rashi translates it with a French word, that shankuk or something, which may be related to the word for sausage. Basically, what it is Rashi, Tosfos quotes from Rashi, tavshol shekoren shlimkuk from a fire and bekach, some kind of stew or something that they crumble bread into. So maybe some kind of sausage. Well, the shower kicking is a printer's mistake. It's supposed to be shawarkirk or shawarkirk or something like that, whatever. But in Rashi Ksaviyad, you can see it more clearly. And Tosfos the also brings it. Anyway, Rashi Ksaviyad quotes, Tavshol shakoyin shawarkirk shem farin bepas. It's a stew or some kind of cooked dish called shawarkirk, which may be like sausage or something, where they crumble bread into it. Anyway, that's Rashi learns that. Tosfos argues with that. Tosfos learns that chavitza is you take small pieces of bread and you use honey or something, honey or milk or fat or whatever, to stick them back together. And then also Tosfos learns from the Aruch that it may mean that you crumble up bread into like croutons or something and pour soup on top of it. Anyway, so Rabbi Yosef says this chavitza, the iste perurin kezayis, if you have pieces of bread in it that are the size of a kezayis, then you still say hamoitzi on it. Even though it's been made into the sausage or stew or soup or what have you, you still say hamoitzi.
It's
the perurin kezayis, but if you don't have pieces in it that are the size of a kezayis, then it gets downgraded and you say mezonis on it.
That's an interesting, except for the people who say that you can say, you can't say mezonis, even if it's less than a kezayis.
Okay. No, we're talking about the total amount of eating is more than a kezayis, but we're talking about each individual piece is not a kezayis. Okay.
In general, when you eat kezayis of bread,
you still have to wash and you still have to whatever. No, that's not what he's saying. He's not saying it's the whole amount of eating is more or less than a kezayis. He's talking about the size of the individual pieces. If no piece is the size of kezayis of this chavitza, however you define chavitza, you still make a bracha, but you say mezayis. Okay, Amar Rav Yosef Menah Minavah. So Rav Yosef says, where do I get this idea that there's a difference between a kezayis and less? like this, the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Hoya Omer of Machlis Menachas for Yerushalayim. If somebody is standing and offering Menachas in Yerushalayim, which there's two explanations in Rashi what that means. One is that it means that the Kohen is bringing a Mincha, and let's say he never had ever brought, he'd never had the chance to be the one who's taking a Kohenus and offering it on the Zayach before. That's one explanation. The second possibility, also Rashi says it might mean that he's bringing a Mincha that's the first time to seal, that's the Omer. And then another explanation, Rashi Ksavyan says, we don't mean the Koyan, we mean a Yisrael who is his first time ever having ever bringing a mincha to the Beis Mikdash to be offered for it. Tosfos brings yet another possibility that it might mean just that a Koyan only gets to work in the Beis Mikdash normally twice a year, because right. You have 24 Mishmaris. So therefore, like every half a year, they have a chance to offer for the first time in a half year. Anyway, the point is, Oimer Baruch Shech Yon V'Timon. So you say a Shech Yon on that. So again, according to the first explanation in Rashi, the fact that you're getting a chance to do the mitzvah for the first time, that you're getting to be makriv a mincha, according to the other explanation that it's Yisrael, same idea, you're getting to bring a mincha for the first time, and according to Tosfos, because you're getting you the kohen, you're getting to do the avodah for the first time in 6 months.
So the first explanation is when it's the kohen.
The second is that it's Yisrael, and the third one is also the kohen, and it's also the kohen, but not the first time in his life, but rather the first time in 6 months. Okay. So he said Shechiyam. Not long the Oichlon, later on if he comes to eat the Mincha, Oimah HaMoitzi Lachem in Aris, and he says HaMoitziyam. Now we learned in our Mishnah, B'cholim Tzitzim the Kazayit. We said in our Mishnah that the pieces of a Mincha are the size of a Kazayit. So there you go, says Rabbi Yosef. Only because they're the size of a Kazayit are you saying HaMoitzi. Had it been smaller, you would have only said Mizon. Omalei Abayas, Abayas says that can't be. Ulatanad Veir Abishmol. What are you going to do though according to Tanad Veir Abishmol? The Omer Mefarchan Adshmach Zidom of Sultan, where he says not like our Mishnah that you only break into four pieces or down to Kazaytim or whatever. You actually break it down until it's crumbs, until it's the size of the original pieces that the Solus was made from. Yeah. You're going to tell me according to Tanad Veir Abishmol he doesn't say Amoisi. The Brice that we just quoted that says that he says Amoisi seems to be according to everybody. Abaya is saying that if Tanad Veir Rabbi Shmuel says you break it down all the way to Solus, according to him though, you would still say Amoisi, even though it's pieces smaller than a size. The Chitema Hochinami, now you're going to argue maybe Tanad Veir Rabbi Shmuel would say you don't say Amoisi. But no, Haltanya, we learn in a Braisa, in a different connection, Liket Mikulam Kazayis Ba'achloi, what happens not referring to Menachas, but rather referring to in general, if a person collects different pieces of bread or flour or whatever to get pieces of bread together, but ochlay and eat it. Im chometzu, if the total amount, if it's chometz and the total amount was exayis, onush kares and he ate it on Pesach and he chayes kares. Im masahi, and if the total amount made up of all these crumbs is a kazayis of masa, onum yoseh ben yedeh chavotah of Pesach, and he can be yoseh eating a kazayis of masa on Pesach. So we see that even though the pieces are smaller than a kazayis, we still say that only the total of it all together comes out to be a kazayis. Nevertheless, it's still considered bread as far as eating matzah.
Yeah, but even less than a kazayis.
No. You need it to eat a kazayis and matzah. We don't mean the individual. Again, total amount is a kazayis. So we see as long as the total amount is a kazayis, you're good. Okay, but Martha. Not the size of the pieces, but the total amount. So the answer is, fine, but you know what that last bride that can be talking about, where you kneaded them back together, to make them into something, you kneaded them back into a dough that's the size of a kazayis. That's why they combine together, but if you ate them as separate pieces, so it becomes one big piece, right? The question is, Yehochi, if you're going to say that, Einer de Kassani Allah, what are you going to do? The Braisa continues by saying, when does it apply that a person is Rechayev Kares, so that he goes to the Mitzvah of Masa, only if he ate it, Bechdeach El Eskrat?
Now,
you have different opinions anyway between 2 and 11 minutes. The prosthetic, I think, says ideally 4, but if not, then 6 or 7. Anyway, the Ibe She'irson, now if you made it back into a dough, it's one big piece. What do you mean, Sha'och Lom, that he ate them? Sha'och Lom, he's Bar Yilei, it should be he ate it, because now it's one thing again. No. Ela Hoch of my, so we can't say that. So we have to say a different answer. Ela Hoch of my skin, the Bomi Lechem Godel. When are we talking about that a person would be Chayat Kodesh, for Chomet, or that he'd be Yosef Masa, when the bread that it came from, still exists, and it was a large loaf of bread, so therefore it was something that it was kosher, or something that, that could have a bracha set on it. But even the pieces from it also are considered kosher enough. But the mincha, which was broken up, according to, even if it was broken up, like Tanan Rabbi Shmuel says, all the way down into crumbs, so you could say that if it's broken all the way down into crumbs, maybe you wouldn't say I'm like it. You need pieces that are kazayas, because after all, the whole mincha was broken up, and you don't have anything left. And actually, the Sfas Emes explains in more detail, the mincha to begin with is made to be broken up. A regular piece of regular loaf of bread is not made to be broken up into such small pieces. So therefore, so Rabbi Yosef was saying the proof is from our Mishnah that you say Hamotzi only if pieces are the size of a kazayas. But we would say, fine, that's true. However, if you have the original loaf of bread was larger, was a large loaf, and you still have it, it's intact, or it wasn't made to begin with to be broken up, then even smaller pieces, as long as they're combined together to make a kazayas, a person would be chayav karis or yotze matzah with it. Okay.
As opposed to
with the mincha where the whole thing was broken.
Well, status is concerned, it doesn't have to be a kazayas to be mechuyev.
Yes, you do. A person has to eat a kazayas, the matzah on paper.
If you eat a half a kazayas,
then you're not yotze. And if the person
ate... No, not you must...
No, only a kazayas. Less than that. That's sheer. Yeah. Okay, my havya. Let's finish up. My havya. Law, what's the bottom line as far as the halacha, as far as the chavita? Rav Sheshet Amar. So Rav Sheshet says, no, afilu pirur and shein ben kazayas. Even if the pieces are smaller than a kazayas in this chavita, you still say amosi on them. Amar Rava, but Rava says, v'hu di'ika terisa dinama alayu, only if they still have the appearance of bread. If they've been soaked so much or whatever that you can't even tell that they were originally bread anymore, then you wouldn't make hamotzi on that.
So that's almost like saying you have to have the piece, the big piece.
So you don't quite have to have a piece the size of a kazayas, but it has to be recognized, that has to be recognizable as bread. So for example, croutons. Croutons you might well have to say hamotzi on. Croutons that are made out of pieces
real
of bread. Regular, yeah, I'm not talking about that. Not the little yellow ones, yeah. But for example, so in Shulchan Aruch, they have a variety of things that talk about this, including, for example, matzah bowls and other such things, where there's a difference. The difference is, with matzah bowls, they, first of all, they don't have suras lechem, but second of all, also, in Shulchan Aruch, it talks about that this that we're saying may only apply if they were re-baked afterwards as one big piece. Then you would say, I'm mostly on them, but the matzah bowls are not baked. They're sort of soup or whatever, so therefore that's different. If they would be re-baked afterwards, then yes. You don't bake. Yeah, but you take matzah meal after you have left and Pesach, and Akham for Pesach. You take matzah, you crumble it up, and then you make matzah balls out of it. But there, if those matzah balls were to be re-baked, then yes, you would have to say hamotzi on them. But because, again, even though the pieces themselves are smaller than a kazayas, because it was re-baked, and because it came from a bigger matzah, like we just said.
All the supplies.
All the supplies, and halacha, yeah.